Take your Bibles, please turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 13 through 19 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Let's finish on verse 19 together. Ready? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for that precious lamb, Jesus Christ, that you did give us. Father, please help us today. There are hundreds of people in this room. That means there's multiplied hundreds of needs. There's no way, humanly speaking, one person could meet those needs, but the Holy Spirit working through the preacher sure could. Father, please have your way, have your will. May we be receptive to what the Holy Spirit has for us today. Fill our preacher with your power. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated.
I try very hard to be practical in my preaching. For me, if a subject is not practical, it's hard to preach. There are some who would struggle to make their preaching practical. But I have a goal of helping people. I do not like to be hard to read. I'm not trying to impress people with my presentation. That's not my goal, not my goal whatsoever. I want to help people. I want to help those that are of the highest intellect in this building. I want to help those also that are of the lowest intellect, like Brother Ewan. I'm not trying to deliver a great sermon. I want to, you know what, when I get done preaching, it doesn't matter to me if someone says, boy, that was a great sermon. But if somebody could walk away and say, that was a great truth, that then we will have accomplished our purpose. In the preaching of God's Word, if the preaching of God's Word is to be like bread, I don't want to serve up stale bread. If the preaching of God's Word is like water, I don't want your water to taste stagnant. If the preaching of God's Word is to be like light, I don't want the light that you receive here to be dim. I want it to be bright so you can see your way. If the preaching of God's Word is to be like milk, I'd hate for yours to be curdled and sour. If the preaching of God's Word is to be like meat, I don't want it to be tough and hard to chew and hard to digest. I want it to be simple. I want it to be tender. If it were like fruit, I'd hate to think it was fermented to the point of rotting and drawing bugs. You see, the Bible's purpose is not just so that we're enamored with its power and ability, it's so it can change our life. We're to live it, not just to admire it. The subject of today, to me, is a very, very holy subject. The whole Bible's holy to me. I take every sermon very, very seriously. But I approach today's sermon and topic with a lot of reverence. And to be honest, it is somewhat difficult for me to preach on because I take it as such a serious subject. I have never preached on the subject and felt like I came close to doing it justice. It deserves 10 times more energy and effort and application than I'll give it. But I hope that somehow we can find a way to make it practical to you. I want to talk to you today about the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a doctrine. It is one of the most important doctrines of the entire Word of God. It is a doctrine that we'll have to work a little harder at in applying it to your everyday life. Some of you will need to pay attention on purpose. I just realized, though, that though this may not be the most delightful sermon that you've ever heard, it may be one of the most enlightening sermons you've ever heard. And we need to make sure that we give some attention to the blood of Jesus Christ. This being the weekend that we celebrate the 4th of July, our independence, somehow our minds and our thoughts could be turned toward blood that has been shed. Of course, there are people in history that have shed their blood to make the United States of America free, but there is one who has shed his blood to make you and I free. More important than the country in which we now reside, called America, and the freedom that we have, it will be the country that one day we will reside in, called heaven. That heaven was made available to us by the blood of a mighty captain, a valiant warrior named Jesus Christ, that came and fought the vicar of hell and Satan himself to shed his blood and to rise again, take that blood to heaven, and make available to us a thing called salvation. And I want to talk to you today for a little while about this subject, precious blood. Precious blood. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." There's some songs in the songbook that I enjoy more than others. I enjoy them all, but I just love the song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I can remember, I would before I moved to this part of the country, I would go up to Chicago, and I would preach once a month, and did it for many, many years at a division of the Pacific Garden Mission. Great big famous mission up in Chicago, a division of it called the Gospel League Home for Women. It was a ladies' division of that mission. I would go up there and preach, and we would lead them in some songs. And in the ladies' division, they would have their children there. And when we would sing this song, it was funny. It was kind of a two-part thing. I would sing, "What can wash away my sin?" And all the children would pipe up in a child's voice, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." I would sing, "What can make me whole again?" And they would sing, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Then we would all come together and sing, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." We sing it, we know the song, but I'm not sure that we understand the depth of the song. "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Oh, how precious is that blood. Precious blood." You know, God has always regarded blood as a precious thing. God told Noah and his descendants in Genesis 9:4, he said, "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." Here, God is giving some direction about blood, and man had been given every moving thing that liveth to eat, but he said, "But by no means do I want you eating blood." Why? Blood was precious. Blood was holy. Blood was valuable. Do you know that they were not to eat things that had been strangled? Because if it had been strangled, the blood had not been taken out of the body. And God said, "I don't want you eating blood. It's a precious thing." It was to be respected. Well, I'll tell you something. I respect blood. I especially respect mine. I want to take good care of it. I don't want to lose any of it. I want to keep it. God even allowed the blood of bulls and goats to become precious in our sight. You say, why? Because the bulls and the goats and other animals that were being given as an Old Testament sacrifice, they pictured the coming Messiah and Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who John said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And those bulls and goats of the Old Testament caused us to look forward to the Lamb of God who would shed His blood. And the Old Testament shedding of the blood of bulls and goats, it was a precious thing. You know, man's blood was seen as precious. In Genesis 9:5, it says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man." It's talking about the shedding of blood here. Hey, listen, I think sometimes we miss it. The shedding of blood was a serious thing. We're talking about murdering someone. It was a serious thing because of the loss of life. But wait a minute. It was also a serious thing because it was the shedding of blood. Because blood was precious. It was in that blood that you found life. You take all the blood out of something, it dies. And that blood was precious. And the Lord said, you've got to understand how precious blood really is. Today, we have blood banks. And that's smart. Because I can't think of anything more valuable than blood. I mean, to the human race, I want you to stop and think about it. What? Hey, more important than your gold and your silver and your diamonds and your jewels and your stocks and your bonds is your blood. And blood is precious and blood is valuable. Now, let us think upon the blood of Jesus Christ for a moment, if we could. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." I don't know if you heard it there, but let me point something out to you. The Bible says to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Now, who's the He there? It's God. And it says He hath purchased with His own blood. Who is that His? God. Do you realize that flowing through the veins of Jesus Christ was the blood of His own dad? God. When Jesus Christ shed His blood, He shed the blood of God for your sin and my sin. That's what the Bible says. Of course, we know that Jesus Christ was virgin born. That's so important. Mary was not just a young maiden. She was a virgin. She had never known a man, never had an intimate relationship with a man. That's very important, for you see, it was the seed of God implanted in her body that brought forth the Son of God, and the blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus Christ was the very blood of God. Amazing to me. The day they penetrated and pierced His hands and pierced His feet and drave a spear into His side. Let me tell you something. You say, that was the blood of Jesus, or that was the blood of God. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Well, what an issue. What an important matter. And somebody that's not right about the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't want anything to do with their preaching. I don't want anything to do with it. You go tampering with the precious blood of Christ. You're tampering with one of the finest and the most necessary to be exalted doctrines in blood in the whole Bible. Oh my. The blood of Jesus Christ. The seed of God is what brought forth our Savior. I remember we take the Lord's Supper. When we take the Lord's Supper, we take a little piece of cracker and we eat it. It pictures the broken body of Jesus Christ. And then we take a little glass of unfermented juice and it pictures the blood of Jesus Christ. And it just pictures it. It does not become it. Jesus Christ needed to be crucified one time and one time only for all man. And so it just pictures it. It is not the blood, but I remember once I was helping to serve the Lord's Supper, and there was a whole bunch of teenagers sitting in one section. I overseen a group of teenagers called the Bible Club teenagers, and they all were kids that had come from the public schools, and we had Bible clubs. It's kind of an alternative to being in a gang, and there was a whole bunch of them sitting there. There was a little black boy. He must have been, he just barely qualified to be in one of these clubs. He had to have been just a seventh grader. He was sitting all the way on the back row, and the Lord's Supper was being concerned, he'd been kind of haphazardly listening to the presentation of the Lord's Supper, where the man of God had said, here in this cup, it pictures the blood of God. And as he was listening there, that little boy, he hadn't heard everything that was said. And when they got back to him with the cups, I heard him say, "I ain't drinking God's blood. I don't care whose blood it is. I ain't drinking it." And I'll never forget what a big deal he made about it. He kept saying, "I don't care whose blood it is. I don't care if it's God's blood. I ain't drinking it." Now, of course, that juice was not God's blood, but I'm so glad as he was mixed up, he at least knew whose blood it represented. The blood of God. When you sing about the blood, I want you to be reminded of whose blood you're singing about. The blood of very God. If the blood of bulls and goats and man is precious, how much more precious is the blood of God? The blood of Jesus Christ. As I approach the subject of the day, it takes a little work. So easily we sing about the blood of Christ and we mention it, but what really is it all about? Let me see if I can make that precious blood practical for us today. Let me say, number one, the precious blood of Christ has redeeming power in it. You understand, most of you that were in Sunday school this morning, you may have heard mention the fact that God, He paid for us twice. He paid a price to create us the first time. And then because of man's fall, He paid a price to buy us back to Himself. As we know, it was God that created us, and then man fell into sin. Because man fell into sin, somebody had to pay for that sin, and that somebody had to be perfect, and that the price for that sin would be blood. It is what God expected. It was what God required. The only problem was everybody else's sin. Every human being alive had tainted blood. It had the sin of the curse of sin upon the blood. And so here we have a fallen man, and fallen man is in trouble now. He wants to go to heaven and be with God, but somebody's going to have to pay his sin debt and pay for his fall. And the requirement is perfection, and the requirement is blood. So it's going to take some perfect blood to pay for man's sin. And as God looked around, he looked at some of the finest on the face of the earth, but even the finest had tainted blood. He looked at those who had tried very hard to keep themselves pure and clean, but flowing through their veins was tainted blood. He looked everywhere. He could not find any perfect blood, and then Jesus Christ stepped up. Jesus said, "Father, I'll go. I'll go, and I will pay their sin debt for them." Now, I want you to understand something. When Jesus Christ left heaven and came down to this earth, He came down here to redeem us. What it meant was He was coming down here on a shopping trip. He was coming down here to buy you and me, and He was coming down here to make it so that we could go to heaven someday. He, with His blood, purchased the availability of heaven for us. When he picked what He wanted, and what He wanted was you and I to be restored to the Father, as if they were in a big supermarket, He stepped up to the counter, and God was the clerk that's doing the checking out, and God the Father said, "Well, what is it that you're trying to purchase here?" And Jesus said, "I want to purchase the souls of all mankind so they can go to heaven someday. I want to make heaven available." And God said, "Well, it's going to cost you your very blood." And Jesus said, "That'll be fine. I'll pay it all." Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. You see, when that blood was shed, it was so that you and I could be redeemed, or we could be bought back to the Father. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I am redeemed You redeemed? Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. See, you're redeemed. There, that blood that was shed is so precious. It was that blood that paid for your eternity. It made it so you could go to heaven. Your salvation is not on a credit card. Paid for. In full. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection, that blood that He shed, that blood made it possible for you to go to heaven. It made it possible for me to go to heaven. And I think we need to take the time in our Christianity to stop and realize how precious that blood is. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Number one, the precious blood of Christ. It has redeeming power. And you and I better thank God that that redeeming power is available. But secondly, that precious blood of Christ provided our atonement. I'll tell you something about that word atonement. Almost sounds too religious and confusing to me. I mean, I hear that word atonement, I think, oh, great. Oh, what in the world, atonement? Let me tell you what I think atonement means very simply, and I may oversimplify it, but let me tell you what I think it means. At-one-ment. Becoming one with God again. When you think of atonement, just think of at-one-ment. At one moment, I'm made one with God again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Here it says we were distanced from God. Our sin had separated us from our God. But it was the blood of Jesus Christ that brought us back to God. At one moment, the atonement, that blood is what made it so you and God could be together again and you could be close again. You know, you can get close to God. What a privilege. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Obviously, we were redeemed and brought back and bought back to Him in our salvation. But wait a minute. It doesn't just stop there. You have the privilege of getting close to the God of the universe. How? How did you earn that privilege? How did you get that right? I'll tell you how. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the other day I was preaching out, and just an odd thing, but the pastor said to someone, said, hey, would you mind if I drove Brother Owens back to the hotel? And the pastor said, Brother Owens, is that all right with you? I said, that's okay, preacher. You're paying the bill here. I'm glad to do whatever you want. I got in the car with this young man, and we were sitting there, and he was beside himself. He said, I didn't think I was going to be able to bring you. Now I don't know what to say. He said, I just want to maybe spend a little time with you. He said, do I have to say anything? I said, no, you don't have to say a thing. Let's just go to the hotel. We rode to the hotel together. I got out. I said, nice talking to you. He looked at me like a baby that tasted sugar for the first time. He looked at me and he said, it's just great being in the car with you. And I got to thinking. The other day I was in my hotel room. And I got on my knees. You know something, for a little while, I didn't say anything. I just wanted to be in the presence of God. And I'm sure when I got finished, I turned and thought, I just wanted to be with you. It's been great being in your presence. You know, I wouldn't want to go to a church where there was the absence of His presence. And you know, that blood, you know what the Bible says? We were distanced from Him,
Yes, that blood did save us, but we were nigh from Him, and the blood made it so we could get close to God. If you've never experienced closeness to God as a Christian, hey, I got good news for you. The blood of Jesus Christ makes it possible for you to be close to Him.
Romans 5:11, it says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement at one-ment." We can experience the joy of being close to God. Thank God for that blood. Redeemed people have experienced that at-oneness. Hey, don't fear your standing with God. You don't have to. If you're born again today, your sins are washed away. Don't be afraid of Him. Don't be afraid of Him. The blood of Jesus Christ makes it so you can go be with God and there's nothing to be afraid of. Now, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, the wrath of God may abide on you someday. You better trust that blood that He shed to save you. But those of you that are born again, don't you ever be afraid to go to God. Don't you ever be afraid to say, "God, I just want to be with You." You say, "Brother Owens, how can I have confidence about that?" It is the blood of Jesus Christ that will make it so you can be with Him and you don't have to be afraid to be around Him. See, the blood fixed that problem. I say to you, number one, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us, and what a wonderful thing. Number two, the precious blood of Christ provided our atonement or our at-one-ment. It brought us back to Him in salvation, but it makes it so we can be with Him. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thirdly, the precious blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Oh, what a wonderful thing. We get to be clean. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You know what word I get excited about in there? All. Amen. All sin. The blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to be clean. I like clean things. I like to be clean. And the Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Here the Lord's telling us it doesn't matter how dirty you were when you came to Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from your filthiness. Hey, that's better than Clorox. That's better than OxyClean. That's better than Mr. Clean or Mrs. Clean, if there is one out there. As ugly as Mr. Clean is, I'm sure there's not a Mrs. Clean. I was thinking, I have my truck, and I love the pickup truck that the church has made available to me to drive. But every once in a while, there's a spill in the truck. Be a little spill of coffee or little spill of this or a little spill of that, and I've got some stains on my seats. I hate stains on my seats. I mean, we got this stuff that was supposed to zap away stains, and it only zapped about half of it away. And we bought this other stuff. It said, "Stain be gone." The only thing that was gone was the $6 a can that I spent on it. My stain did not be gone. And we got this other stuff called elbow grease. And I put Mrs. Owens out there with a brush. And I said, "Get going." And she was scrubbing that thing. And we still have stains on our seats. Well, let me tell you something. Your sin that stained you, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ, your stains be gone. Stains be gone. All gone. Hey, stop and think about it. actually stop and think about it. And Brother Brett, I'm going to use this microphone. I want you to actually stop and think for a moment. I would really like for the blood of Jesus Christ to get the credit that it deserves today. It is His blood that washed away your sins. If we could take a little bit of time and start going through some of the people sitting in these aisles or sitting in these rows and in these pews, and if we started listing your sins, sins that you know about that nobody else knows about, sins that you have committed, vile, wicked, nasty sins, and if we started listing them, it would be atrocious. You would be appalled. But let me tell you something. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All those sins will be held against you and be on your account to this very day, except for one thing. Mr. Clean, Jesus, and His blood has been applied to your account and my account, and He cleaned us up. You say, well, Brother Owens, what about the sin of, that one? You say, but one time I went out and did this. He can clean that one up too. And you say, Brother Owens, lying? Yes, He cleanses lying. Cheating? Yes, He cleanses cheating. Stealing, adultery, hatred, all of it, He cleans it all up. Oh, I'm so glad that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you and I accepted its power so it would save me and it would help me to be at one with God, and then it makes me clean. It makes me clean. I was thinking of our dear friend, Brother Ray Montgomery. Brother Montgomery just had a tough time with his health. Then he had some sort of a disease or some sort of a rash or whatever it was, it's really affected his skin. I was up to see him the other day, and he just got flakes of skin all over his body. It itches, and he's got flakes everywhere, and they have tested him and tested him and tested him, and they've got IVs in him. And you know what he said to me, Brother Young? He said, you know, preacher, can I tell you what I'm looking forward to? He said, I'm looking forward to being able to take a shower. He said, because I can't get in the shower with this stuff that I have on me. I'm able to wash down and wipe myself down. But he said, I'm unable to take a shower because of this. He said, I'd like to just feel clean. Well, let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need a shower. Shower in what? You need a shower in the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, I feel dirty. If you're not born again, you are dirty. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to get saved. You ought to get born again. You ought to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all your sin. He'll cleanse you. He'll take that sin away. And to those of you that are born again, hey, enjoy the cleanness that was merited by the shedding of the blood of somebody else, but Jesus Christ. I say to you today, the precious blood of Christ, it is what redeemed us. He used that blood to buy us back. And then it provides for us atonement, at-one-ment. We can be one with God. We can be with God. We can be alone with God. And then that blood, it cleanses us. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Boy, what precious blood. It cleanses us. It keeps us clean. Then, not only that, I see that the blood of Jesus Christ preserves us. It preserves us. It keeps us fresh and keeps us where God wants us. If we took the time, we could go to the Old Testament book of Exodus. The story is the story of the children of Israel when they were in bondage or captivity in Egypt. Now, God wanted them to get out of that captivity, but their captor, he wasn't much for that. So God told Moses, He said, Moses, I'm going to help you get out of captivity, and I'm going to make it so that you can break free. Yeah, here's what I want you to do, though, Moses. You're going to have to listen very carefully, and you're going to have to follow my instructions very carefully. He said, I'm going to send my death angel through the land of Egypt one night.
And when I do, everybody that follows my instructions carefully, they will, their firstborn child will survive and live. But the ones that do not listen to my instruction, their firstborn child will die. And the God rejection, the God rejecting Egyptians, they won't obey me about this. And all the Christians that love me, they will obey me about this. And he said, you just do what I say and everything will be all right. And God said, now, Moses, here's your instructions. I don't know how Moses did it. I don't know if he had a pencil and a pad, but I'm going to guess he was probably taking pretty close notes. You say, why? Because the firstborn child of every one of God's children, their life was at stake. That death angel would pass over, and he had to follow the instruction of God to the T. Moses had to go teach it to all of God's children to make sure that the Israelites were protected. I don't know. Maybe he had an ink pen. He had a Palm Pilot. He probably put it into his Palm Pilot back then. I don't know how he did it, but I'll tell you this. He was taking careful notes. God said, all right, here's what I want you to do. Now, Moses, you tell them they're to take a lamb. I want them to take a lamb. I want it to be a male lamb, and I want it to be a clean lamb, an unblemished lamb. I want them to watch it, and then you're going to take the blood of that lamb. You're going to slay that lamb. You're going to take the blood of that lamb, and I want you to go to the doorpost of your house. And I want you to put some of the blood of that lamb on the doorpost of your house. And when the death angel passes over, he's going to be looking down for any household that has the blood of that lamb applied to the doorpost of their house. And if they have obeyed in regard to the blood of the lamb, I will pass over them and their children will not be harmed. But any house that the blood of the lamb is not applied to, when they wake up the next morning, their firstborn child will be dead. Moses wrote it all down. Moses went right back to the children of Israel, had a big powwow with them, said, listen, folks, God's going to help us now, but you've got to follow his instructions perfectly. He said, this is what God said. He said, take a lamb, a male lamb, and you watch it, make sure it's unblemished, and it's a good, wholesome, clean lamb, and we're going to kill that lamb, and you're going to take the blood of that lamb, and you're going to place it at the doorpost of the house, and then you all go to bed, and God's death angel will pass through the land in the night. He'll look down, and if he sees the blood of that lamb on the doorpost, he'll pass over your household and your firstborn child will be spared. But everybody that disobeys about this, they're going to lose their firstborn child. And so the day came. Can you imagine how busy the people were? Can you imagine every dad and mom was saying, we've got to do this just right. We've got to make sure we do it just right. They were busy and they were getting their lamb and slaying the lamb and placing the blood on the doorpost. Can you imagine family devotions that night? I can imagine mom and dad gathered around the Word of God saying to the children who I'm sure had a little bit of fear, oh, mom and dad, what's going to happen tonight? What's all the big hubbub about? What's going on? And dad said, son, don't worry. You see that right there on the doorpost? That blood right there is going to keep you safe, boy. That blood right there. Their firstborn child. Can you imagine every firstborn child tossing and turning, afraid to go to sleep? You know how kids will toss and turn the day before Christmas? Afraid to go to sleep. You want to stay awake. There's a surprise. These kids were terrified. Can you imagine? Word's out. Everybody knows if it's not done right, the firstborn will not wake up tomorrow and we'll be dead. I wonder if they tossed and turned through the night. I don't know, but I can tell you this. The death angel, when it entered the land, every time it looked down, and that death angel actually saw the blood on that doorpost, he said, we're skipping over this household. Everybody there's fine. And every household that did not have the blood of that lamb applied to their doorpost, the firstborn child was dead. The next morning early, you could hear people screaming, weeping and crying because they found their firstborn dead. And then you go to another home and you see a mom and dad saying, oh, praise God. Everything's okay. Our firstborn is safe. And the children said, Mommy, Daddy, why is it that we're happy today and we're fine, but boy up the street, he's dead.
And Daddy said, "You were preserved, son, through the blood of the Lamb.
You were preserved through the blood of the Lamb." The Bible says in Exodus 12:13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon your house where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you." His blood saved you, and just so you know, His blood keeps you. The Bible teaches once you get born again and the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your record, that blood is never taken off of your record. That blood covers you. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that preserves you. Oh, that's good news, because, hey, had we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and then if we were told that we had to figure out a way to keep ourselves safe, we'd all be in a mess. But He said, "I'll save you and I'll keep you." He said the day you received Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ was placed on the doorpost of your heart, and that blood has a stain, and it's always going to be there, and it's that blood-stained doorpost, and every time God looks down after your salvation and you sinned and you messed up, He did not take your salvation away from you. Your sin's covered. You're cleansed. You're covered by the blood of the Lamb. And oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. You say, "Brother Owens, are you perfect?" No, I'm a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, saved sinner. Say, "So what's so hot about you?" The blood of Jesus Christ. You think you're a real hot rod. I think the blood of Jesus Christ is a real hot rod. Well, you just a little bit arrogant. You think you got it all together. I think Jesus has got it all together. The reason I can stand confidently today and do what I must do, it's not because of me or Him or anything I've ever done, but it's what Jesus Christ has done and the blood of His Son. You see, it was His precious blood that redeemed us. It was His precious blood that provided our atonement, our at-one-ment with God. It is His precious blood that cleanses us. It's His precious blood that preserves us. Now I see why the songwriter wrote it. "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Oh, I like this. Did you know, number 5, His precious blood speaks for us? I believe it speaks for us. Listen to this verse. Hebrews 12:24 says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than Abel." Speaketh better things than Abel. Let me tell you what's talk about here. Here, it says the blood of Jesus speaketh. It says it speaketh better things than Abel. We all know this. Cain killed Abel. You know, if I took the time, I could tell you the story. Cain had killed Abel, Genesis chapter 4. And Abel, when he was dead there, God got to looking around and seeing that Abel was not up, bebopping around and everything. And God talks to Cain, says, "Cain, where's your brother?" Cain was in a little bit of denial. "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And God said, "Abel's blood crieth unto me." You know what? The blood of Abel spoke to God. You say, "How'd that happen?" I don't know. That's why He's God. I'm just a human being. But I happen to believe what the Bible says. The Bible says Abel's blood crieth from the ground. Abel's blood was crying out to God. And here the Bible says in Hebrews 12:24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." You know what it means? It means the blood of Jesus Christ speaks too. It speaks too. If Abel's blood could cry to God, here it says the blood of Jesus Christ, it speaks also. also, you say, what in the world do you think it's talking about? I'll tell you what I think the blood of Jesus Christ will talk about. Hey, the old devil, you get born again, and the old devil comes to you, and he says, well, you can't live the Christian life, and you get down a little bit, and you get a little bit discouraged, and then all of a sudden, God looks over, and the blood of Jesus Christ says, don't you believe the devil? Hey, the blood is still powerful. The blood is still here for you. You can do whatever you need to do. There is victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with what? His precious blood. I've got news for you. The blood of Jesus Christ is speaking for you and me. Devil comes to try. Those of you that are born again, the devil, he comes and he wants to accuse you to God. He wants to, hey, he would like for you to be discouraged about your salvation. Or, the last point, he'd like for you not to think you have it anymore. Listen, once you got saved, you're always saved. The devil, he tries to get you down. Let me tell you who you need to talk to about your salvation if you doubt it. Talk to the blood. Talk to the blood. Go to the blood of Jesus Christ and say, blood of Jesus Christ, are you strong enough to keep me saved? He'll say, you bet your last dollar I'm strong enough to keep you saved. You're still born again. He'll speak right up. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks for us. The blood of Jesus Christ reminds the Father, Father, don't forget, Rusty Ewan's got the blood, my blood, me. I am smeared on the doorpost of his heart. He's saved, Father. He's born again. Joshua Owens is saved, Father. He's born again. The devil comes along and said, Brother Bush, you dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinner in your background. And the blood of Jesus Christ stands up and says, wait a minute here. Hey, he's clean. His sins were as scarlet, but he's washed as white as snow. And the blood of Jesus Christ steps up and defends us. Powerful blood. It speaketh. It speaketh. Satan says, you got saved, but you're not so hot. What's so special about your salvation? Let me tell you. I've been saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. I've been saved by the blood of the crucified one. That's what's so special about it. You see, I not only think that the redeeming power of that precious blood is important to us, but I think we need to notice that it provided for us atonement, at-one-ment with God. It cleanses us from our sins. It preserves us. And the blood of Jesus Christ speaks for us. Let me quickly share one more thought with you today. The precious blood of Jesus Christ moves the hearts of men. In John 19:37 it says, and again another scripture saith, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. When Jesus Christ was crucified, of course we know that was where that bloodshed is traced back to. We know that's where the blood was shed. They drove nails in his hands and his feet, crown of thorns on his brow. They pierced his side. They beat his back. The Bible says here that those that were present at that time says that they shall look upon him whom they pierced. The scripture there says, well, and I could take you to many passages of Scripture as I study for this thought, but the truth of the matter is, even the people back then that looked upon Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed, they were moved. It moved them. Something happened. Do you know that the blood of Christ melts the heart of men? The hardest heart in the universe. Let me tell you what could melt it. The story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. How many times have you seen somebody that's hard-hearted and they're God rejectors, but they said in an old-fashioned Baptist church where an old-fashioned Bible and the old-fashioned crucifixion is preached, and a hard-hearted man begins to tremble and he begins to shake and he begins to realize, hey, I'm not opposing flesh. I'm opposing God. I'm trampling on the blood of Jesus Christ. He loved me. He died for me. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. It's powerful enough to move the hearts of men. Hey, let it soften your heart today. If you're here today and you're not born again, let me tell you what this Jesus stuff's really all about. God loves you.
And if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell, according to the Bible. God loves you so much that He and His Son came up with a plan to save you. His Son left heaven, came to this earth, and lived 33 and a half sinless years. He willingly died for you, was beaten to a pulp for you, then died, was buried, and resurrected because He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's what it's really all about. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you need to get saved. Preaching of this sort, about the blood of Jesus Christ, it softens hearts. If you're a Christian here today, and you've got a hard heart toward God, and you say, "Brother Owens, I've got a hard heart, and I know it," I recommend you just start looking in to the blood of Jesus Christ. It will soften your heart. The blood of Jesus Christ, that's a heart melter. The preaching of the cross, that gets people's attention. I'll tell you something. If I know I've got a rough crowd to preach to, if I know that it's going to be hard to keep their attention, if I know they're rowdy, if I know they're not untrained for preaching, there's one subject I can always pull out and preach. And for some reason, God takes over, and the crucifixion and the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ is bigger than the rebellion in an untrained heart. It's amazing. You get to talking about the blood of Jesus Christ and the crucifixion. It's just a little mental thing I've got tucked in the back of my head. If I'm preaching along and all of a sudden I feel like I'm losing the crowd and they're getting uneasy and they're unsteady, all I have to do is start talking about them taking a whip and beating Him, putting that crown of thorns on His head and the driving of the nails in His hands and in His feet. And He said, "I thirst," and they gave Him vinegar and gall to drink. And they talk about the spear they drove in His side. And I get to talking about that and all of a sudden there's a holy hush. Because the blood of Jesus Christ melts the heart of man. Listen, if you're not saved today, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're saved today, take a few minutes and appreciate. Appreciate what, Brother Owens? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Appreciate. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. A doctrine of the Bible that is far more practical than we allow it. Everything I said today about the blood applies to you and me. And it can make a difference in our life today, right now. If you're not saved, why don't you get saved? If you are saved, why don't you truly thank God for the blood? Think about all that is available to you because of it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.